This morning I'm going to continue and kind of finalize our all-in series, and next Sunday as we have communion, just kind of recap where we were, where we've been, and kind of just end it that way with a final recap on Communion Sunday. So this is serving as the conclusion of the all-in series, and then our recap will just try and help us maybe put some of what we've discovered, what we've talked about, some questions that I've asked, and ask you to really think about that as we have communion together. For this morning, though, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and I want to read that for you and kind of talk about what that means for those who are all in. And maybe as I highlighted a couple of people that were all in for Jesus and told you a few of their stories, and maybe you've thought of some people in your own life that you would say, this person is all in. You can just see it in their life. They just are all in for Jesus. That being all in takes time and training to do that. And so Paul, the author of Hebrews, is kind of saying, using the same language that Paul uses in some of his letters about running a race, about training, about athletic sports and things like that, and the kind of discipline that goes into that. And so I want to get us thinking that way this morning first, this idea of training, this idea of getting ready to do something or for something. And maybe you've not done this in a while, I don't know. How many of you have ever trained for something? You've played a sport and you've trained. If you played an instrument, you've had to do training. If you did something with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, usually there was some training that took place in that to get you prepared for something. So most of us probably have done training. Anybody ever train or are training now for like a marathon? John, no? Okay. I'm not either. My friend Matt Hill, he's at the Reamstown Church. He's training to do a marathon. I don't know why you want to run that long just to run. It doesn't make any sense to me, but there's training involved in just running. If you want to get in better shape, lots of people are running. Where there's 5Ks, everybody's doing a 5K. Every organization does. We do the CareNet 5K and support that. They're huge now because lots of people want to run. They want to train. They want to get in better shape. I did a Spartan race. A Spartan race is when the one I did was at Blue Mountain Ski Resort, and it was like a little bit over 5 miles. Some other people in here have done the Spartan race, and I would suggest to train for that. I did zero training for that Spartan race. I almost died. You would think I'm kidding. I almost died doing that race. It was, I don't know why I didn't train for it. I was pretty new here at Grace Church. And I felt like I had to do it because these other people were doing it. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm the pastor. I should do this. I didn't do any training for it, and it was a disaster. It was agony after that. I would suggest you train for it. Those who train, I mean, people spend their lives. They rank these. This is like, I don't know if it's worldwide, at least nationally, people are ranked doing a Spartan race, which is really just, I mean, you don't need to make tons of obstacles during this Spartan race. There are various obstacles that you have to climb over, swim through, go underneath. I had to throw a javelin at something. I had to pull this weighted bag up to the top and drop it, and you had to carry a sandbag and stuff down and back up. And really, on a ski mountain, you don't need all that stuff. Like 2.5 miles up a mountain is hard enough, but you have all these obstacles and stuff like that. So that takes a little bit more training. You might do something like this. Anybody ever run with like a parachute? I mean, this is, people do this. They attach a parachute to them. There's like a belt, and then there's a parachute, and you just start running with this parachute. And it's supposed to build endurance and strength and all that kind of stuff. And because when you cut that parachute off, man, you can really fly. But training is a huge part of any sport. I'm using sports as an example because that's what I did. That's what I played. And if you weren't trained well, you wouldn't be able to last. I just know in soccer we ran and ran and ran and ran, and in the summer before the games started, we have two practices. The morning practice was basically you ran all morning, and then the afternoon practice, because of the heat, you didn't run quite as much. But all of that was preparing you to go the distance during the game, that when the other team was getting tired, you were better trained and you could last longer. Maybe if you play an instrument, I mean, you give stuff up, you are constantly playing something. Maybe if, I know Kyle Klingman plays the guitar for us in our second service and is taught himself to play that, and he's got to play a lot, so his fingers, because it's hard to do all that with those chords, and his fingers, he needs to get his fingers calloused a little bit so that he can play that. So even just playing an instrument, there's training to do it. And there's different levels of that. I mean, if you want to just train to run and get in better shape, that's one level. If you want to do a Spartan race, that's obstacles and all kinds of stuff that you have to do, strength training, also endurance training, then you probably need another level. And then there's guys that like do this kind of stuff where you just, for whatever reason, cut a telephone pole down and carry it up a sandy beach. Anybody ever do that? Shane, did you have to carry a telephone pole up a sandy beach? Good for you. Shane was in the Marines. This is something that the SEALs do in SEAL training, Navy SEAL training. When I went into the Navy, I wanted to do SEAL training, and then through a series of events, God decided that that wasn't the direction I'm going and went a different direction. But there's a level of training that if you want to be the best that there is, the training is way more intense. And so the author of Hebrews is talking about that kind of training. What kind of training are you currently involved in to be all in with Jesus? Because it doesn't just happen. There is training that goes into this thing we call following Jesus. And the author of Hebrews is kind of getting at that for us, is using that imagery to get us to that place where we understand that this Christian life, this walking with Jesus, is training, and you've got to run your race. And so he highlights that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and he highlights that after Hebrews chapter 11. Amazing, right? Chapter 12 comes after chapter 11. But if you've ever read Hebrews chapter 11, you know it's a whole list of people that the author is highlighting their faith. A faith that one is an example to us, people's lives that we can look at and say they were faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 is listing a whole group of those people. Joshua, one of the guys that we've been looking at from the Old Testament, is on that list. He had to run his race as well. He couldn't run Moses' race. He had to run his own race. And his faith in doing that is listed and is used as an example in our author's kind of note on people of faith as he gets ready to talk to whoever he's writing this letter to, a bunch of primarily probably Jewish Christians, people who have a lot of Old Testament background, and highlights a lot of those Old Testament believers, and gets ready for chapter 12, where he now encourages the people he's writing to. He says, therefore, so since I have said everything, and it's really chapter 10, verse 19 time frame is like the beginning of that section and ends here at the end of chapter 11. Having said all that stuff and given you all those examples of those people of faith, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's a great conclusion to what he was just talking about in terms of people of faith, and a great analogy for what this Christian life looks like, so that we wouldn't grow weary and lose heart, so that we wouldn't, as this race continues and we see this race is not very easy, we need some of that in our lives. And so we all know, and you are on that race, and I am running this race. We're all running our own races, and all of us should be training, and some of us are at different levels of that training. We're at different places of that training. And the author of this letter is trying to get the readers to understand that you need to start running your race. That there are a lot of people before you that have ran this race. And their example is a great one for us, this idea of a great cloud of witnesses. These people were not spectators in this race. There's a lot of people that are spectators. I know when we did the Spartan race, there were people that came to spectate, to stand, take pictures, and all that kind of stuff. And they watched all of us in that race. And they were saying to themselves, man, I'm glad I didn't do that. What kind of fool do you have to be to do this thing? Or they, you know, were saying to themselves, cheering people on, and I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad I'm not doing it. But they were watching. This race that you and I are to be on is not a spectator sport. And the author of Hebrews gives a whole list of people, and just a short list there of people that ran this race. It wasn't that they were witnesses and they saw people do this. It was that they were witnesses through their very lives. Their very examples testify to and commend us to a life of faith. That is, a life that is engaged in this race. Their witness, that's what witness is describing there. Not a spectator of it, but they are engaged in the race. And their lives commend us to, he's saying to the people he's writing to, and he's saying to all of us, their lives commend us to a life of faith. That if we are engaged in this race, we would be listed in there as well. Well, look at the lives of all those people, and you could go down through the ages and just start listing people, lives of faithfulness that ran their race, and they ran it to the very end. And he's encouraging his readers, as they, in Hebrews, as he's writing this, are experiencing persecution, he's encouraging his readers to run this to the end. To not simply be a spectator. You're never going to finish. If you don't train for this race, it's going to be really hard. The Spartan race was really hard. I did zero training for it, and it was tough to get through. And I kept going through it because I was with some guys. I'm like, I can't drop out of this thing. What are they going to think about me? I've just got to this church. So I just kept going. Though I almost died, I just kept going. And they were going to have to drag me off that place. I wasn't going to not finish. Being engaged in this race is more than just being a spectator. And in fact, that word witness, as time went on, and in the Greek, that word became connected directly to the word martyr. These weren't perfect people, but they were willing to live and be sold out and be all in for Jesus. And that because of that, that word witness that we translate in English and Greek would actually translate in the word martyr. Somebody who is so all in for Jesus at the point where they can say either you reject him or if you confess him, you lose your life. To be a witness, to be a martyr, was to say, I will not reject him. That's the kind of idea, that's the kind of all-in attitude these people had, as the author of Hebrews knows that they're going to face, and as Christians down through the ages know that they're going to have to face, and in Christians in the 21st century, maybe not living here in this country, but in the 21st century, know that being a witness, that means being engaged in this race, being all in for Jesus, might actually mean you come to that place where in this race you can either choose life here by rejecting him or choose life in the hereafter by embracing what Jesus has done for you. And many, many do. This list of people being engaged in this race, not being a spectator, you don't have to be perfect to do that. If you read through the list of people in Hebrews chapter 11, if you read through the Bible and you see the people's lives in the Bible, you cannot conclude from reading that these people were perfect, that these people somehow are on some other spiritual plane than what we are, because they're not. They've done a lot of bad stuff. They've done a lot of dumb things. They've said they've loved God, and in the same breath, they've turned away from God. Look at all the disciples. At the end, they weren't even there with Jesus at the cross. We were looking at Joshua, and Joshua had his own struggles and problems. Joshua had to run his race. He couldn't run Moses' race. The author of Hebrews says, let us. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded by people who ran this race, who were engaged in this race. He says, let us. He's talking to everybody reading this letter to the Hebrews, and he's talking to every single one of us. Let us, that means you and me, be engaged in this race. And you don't have to be perfect. If we see Joshua's life, Joshua had to be engaged in this race. He couldn't run off of Moses' race. Moses ran his race, and he finished that race. And Moses couldn't even enter the promised land that he was working towards his whole life because of his disobedience to God. And yet Moses is held up as like this standard of spirituality that seems like none of us could ever reach Moses' spirituality, and yet he couldn't even do something because he disobeyed God, because he had fallen short, because he's just like you and me. And Joshua the same way. Joshua had to get over the fact that he didn't have to be Moses. He was living in Moses' shadow, and that terrified him. And I think the evidence of that is if you read chapter 1 of Joshua, and I'm in verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. This is what God is saying to Joshua. As I was with Moses, God says, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. That phrase is repeated very often in the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And God is usually telling that to Joshua, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I think that is being said over and over again because Joshua is struggling with his own ability, living in the shadow of Moses. And even when something bad happens, remember I read that story to you when they were supposed to attack the city called Ai, and they were defeated by an inferior force, and Joshua fell down at his face at the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was. He went to God, and he was like, it would have been better for us never to walk across that Jordan River. We should have just stayed on the other side. He was ready to turn back. He was ready to just say, okay, God, we can't do it. Let's just go back there where we're safe and we're happy and it's okay and we're comfortable. And yet the author of Hebrews lists Joshua as one of those of great faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, remember that story if you've read through Joshua, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. The author is saying that it's not that you have to be perfect to do this. And your race isn't going to be perfect either, and it doesn't have to be. To be all in with Jesus doesn't mean you never mess up. Doesn't mean you never do dumb things or disobey him or fall short or sin against him or go back to those other things. Or maybe you in your life get to that point where maybe it would have been better if I would have just stayed back there. Running the race doesn't mean you don't deal with any of that. Running the race is you keep going even though all that is there. You keep going even though somebody has attached a parachute to you and you were trying to run and it feels really hard to run, you keep running. We have to run our race. You have to be engaged in this race. Somebody can't run it for you. You've got to be engaged. And it's not like you have to be perfect in this race. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you just mess up. Sometimes it's really hard to get up in the morning and take that jog. Now, some of you probably aren't doing that, but you get what I'm saying there. Sometimes it's really hard just to spend that time with Jesus, just to crack open that Bible again, just to talk to him, just to make time for him, just to decide, you know what, I'm really struggling with my family member, but I'm all in with Jesus, so I've got to try and treat this person the way Jesus would have me treat them. Are you watching the race or are you in this race? That's what the author of Hebrews wants to ask the people that are reading this. That's what I think he's asking to us. Because you can watch this race. You can come here on a Sunday morning and be a spectator and watch it. The race really happens when you walk out that door. When you go out of this place, that's when the race really begins. This is part of the training. This is trying to help us to get ready to run that race. This isn't the race. This is part of the training for this race. And some of you train well with it, some of you not as well. But to run this race, what we're going to need is endurance and perseverance. So my not training for the Spartan race was a bad idea. I had very little endurance. I had perseverance because I was actually running this race with somebody else. That's what actually got me through it. It wasn't that I was prepared and well-trained. It was that I decided to persevere because I was running it with somebody. That's what the church is. That's what Grace Church is. That's when we say church family means you're not running this race by yourself. Because it's really hard to run this race by yourself. It's really hard to endure. And it's really hard to persevere when you're by yourself. If you're just spectating, it's going to be really hard to finish well. It's going to be really hard to finish at all. And maybe you know some people that have given up on this race. And some of those people have given up on this race because they haven't fixed their eyes on the place they're supposed to fix it. Well, the author of Hebrews says, okay, we're engaged in this race. Let us, that means each of us, run this race. We all have to do it ourselves. And he says in verse 2, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. And why do we have to do that? Well, you have to go back to verse 1. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus because there are some things that we have to throw off that hinder us. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Because that's going to happen during this race. We saw it in Joshua's life, and if you know any other story in the Bible, you've seen it in every other single person's life. Things that entangle them, things that ensnare them, things that hinder them, and sin that keeps them from running well. There is actually a differentiation between these. It's not saying the same thing. When the author says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, he's talking about two different things there, actually. Because you and I can throw off something that hinders us. And that might be unique or specific to us. See, the sin piece is not unique to any of us. Sin entangles all of us. It doesn't matter who you are, it's going to entangle you. It's gonna pull you down. But there are things that maybe I deal with that might hinder me that don't hinder you. That if you're training for a sport or if you're training for something, and I'm just using that as my example because I've had to do that, you know, there's things in my own life that I had to get rid of so that it wouldn't hinder me. There's maybe some time things, some commitments that I had that I just have to, in running this race, I just got to get rid of them. You know, in running this race, the time commitment thing isn't as big of a deal for my dad. My dad's retired. My dad has his devotional time every single morning. He spends a lot of time in the mornings doing things and training and being engaged in this race. And so the time issue doesn't necessarily hinder him. Maybe there's something else that hinders him that's different for him than it is for me. And there's something that's hindering you, perhaps, that doesn't hinder me. This is might be specific to you. You know, in training and being healthy, having ice cream in my house doesn't hinder me. It doesn't bother me to have that in my house if we're trying to get healthy because I don't really need it. But Jess doesn't buy it because if it was in the house, she'd eat it. So if we're trying to get healthy, we just can't have that in the house. Now, I have friends coming over, and the deal was two ice cream things for $5, Turkey Hill. So, I mean, you have to buy two of them. I mean, you can't just buy one. It would be dumb not to. So now I got in trouble for doing that because it's there. But that doesn't hinder me. If I'm trying to be healthy, that doesn't bother me. It does her. And same for trying to follow Jesus. There might be something in your life that hinders you that I don't really struggle with, but maybe you do. And you've got to figure out what that is and throw it off. It's that parachute that is holding you back, and you've got to cut those ties so that you can run. The sin piece hinders all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It distracts every single one of us. And that is the big thing for me today, is in our culture today, is the distraction. There are tons of things that say this is more important than you training for this race. This is more important than you running this race. There are tons of distractions in our lives that keep us from running this race. There are tons of things in our lives that we would call sin. As a Christian church, that's what we call it. And it doesn't matter if you're me at my season of life, or if you've raised your kids and they're out of the house. It doesn't matter if you never had kids. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. Sin affects all of us and entangles every single one of us. And that's why the author says that we're supposed to throw off everything that hinders, cut whatever's tying you back, that parachute that's holding you back, and get rid of the sin that so easily entangles. All of us have to do that. All of us have to figure out, how do we go all in with Jesus and get rid of that stuff in our life that is holding us back? And part of that, going all in with Jesus, is fixing your eyes on Jesus. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because it can happen. You can grow weary and you can lose heart if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. Really, that's what all in is. Through this series, I've talked about what all in with Jesus looks like. We talked about last week knowing about God. Knowing about God is a spectator. And knowing God is somebody who is engaged in this race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the only way in which we don't lose heart and we don't grow weary. I can give you the 10 things to help you train better. Here are 10 ways to help you train better to be that all-in Jesus follower that Ted has been talking about doing. Here are 10 things to make this better. Here are 10 things to make that better. And you know what? Unless we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're not going to remain all in. There's people who have fixed their eyes on something else, not on Jesus. There's people who aren't following Jesus because they fixed their eyes on religion. And religion was supposed to do something for them, or religion's supposed to be a certain way, and they look out and they say, look at what religion has got us in this world. And if you're fixing your eyes on religion as that example, that thing that's going to help you be all in, it's going to be very easy to lose heart. Because the author of Hebrews says, well, you're fixing your eyes on the wrong place. It's not religion. It's Jesus. It's not the things that people did in the name of religion. It's Jesus. Yeah, there are a lot of messed up people in this world. There are a lot of messed up people that are followers of Jesus and did a lot of dumb stuff. And so if you're fixing your eyes on Christianity as an institution, if you've seen reports in the recent months about things that the Attorney General in Pennsylvania has discovered about the Catholic Church, if you're fixing your eyes on Christianity as an institution, you're in a lot of trouble. You will give up this race. This race isn't worth it. Because if that's what Christianity is, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And the age-old, you know, claim of, well, what about the Crusades, right? The Christian Crusades. What was wrong with that? You want me to believe in this God or follow Christianity? Look at this example. Again, I just say what the author of Hebrews says. Well, you're fixing your eyes at the wrong place. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe there's people in our own life who have claimed to be Christians, and there's maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody you know that has given up on this race because they fixed their eyes on this person, and this person let them down. And these Christians, people who profess to be Christians, are letting them down. You've got to help them redirect their eyes and say, you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus, not that person. Yeah, that person is messed up, and so am I. If you're fixing your eyes on me, you're going to be disappointed. if you're fixing your eyes on me as, hey, he's the example I'm supposed to follow, you need to come talk to me in my office because I need to redirect your gaze and your vision. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. It's only when we fix our eyes on Jesus that we will not grow weary and lose heart in this race. When you fix your eyes at something or someone other than Jesus, this race gets really tough. The reason we go all in with Jesus is exactly what the author of Hebrews said. Because Jesus went to that cross, scorning the shame, and he endured all of that for all of us. He did that for you. You know the cross was the worst form of execution there existed, and you weren't even supposed to mention the word, the cross. You weren't even supposed to talk about it in polite company. And if you were a Roman citizen, that form of punishment wasn't even good enough for you. That was too horrible. If you were put on a cross, it was because you were considered by everyone else to be subhuman. You weren't even worthy of an honorable death. And it says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning the shame. And because he did that, he sits at the right hand of God. And he says, consider him. The reason that we run this race, the reason that we go all in for Jesus is because of that. Because I consider what Jesus Christ did for me. That's why we run this race. That's why people who are at the point of either you reject it or you lose your life are willing to lose that life because they have fixed their eyes on Jesus. If you want to be all in with Jesus, then you've got to fix your eyes on him. The reason that we run this race, the reason that I decided to go in the ministry, the reason why you get up every morning on a Sunday and maybe you come here or you're involved in the church, or the reason you decide that I'm gonna talk to my spouse in this particular way, I'm gonna treat my kids this way, that difficult family member, I'm gonna handle this way, that coworker that's really giving me a problem, I'm going to handle it this way. This neighbor that's really an issue, I'm going to handle it this way. The reason you decide to live that way is because of what Jesus has done for you. And if you want to finish this race and finish it well, it's because you fixed your eyes on Jesus. Not the people claiming to represent him, not the church, not Christianity as an institution, not religion, and it's good to have religion in your life because they teach you good moral values and things like that. That's not going to help you finish the race. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is what gets you to the end of the race. Consider him who was willing to be considered subhuman and go to that cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This race that we're on isn't a spectator sport. It's got to be more than Sunday morning. It's time to go forward and not turn back. It's time to cut those strings on that parachute that's holding you back, those things that hinder you, it's time to cut that. That sin that's there, it's time to get rid of that. And it's time to stop looking back across the Jordan and say, it would have been better if we stayed back there, and start looking forward. Fixing your eyes on Jesus and running this race. And when you walk out those doors, you're engaged in that race. This is a piece of the training. And now when I'm dealing with people, when I'm dealing with my family, when I'm sitting by myself at home, when I've got these thoughts, when I've got stuff going on, I'm fully engaged in this race. Here's a question that I want to ask you and leave you with this morning. To challenge us to see where we're at, to take that evaluation, to say, all right, we've got to walk out in that race. When you leave these doors, you're going to be in the Spartan race. Maybe fewer obstacles, or maybe bigger obstacles than just climbing over a wall. I mean, we can do that, but there might be some obstacles in your life that seem like it's a mountain. It's not a wall, it's a mountain. Fixing our eyes on Jesus helps us get across and over top into the other side of that mountain. So here's a question I want to ask you. This is out of the series that we've been doing as life groups. the All In series. And he asked this question. I thought it was a good one for all of us to think about. If someone followed you with a video camera for a month and recorded everything you said and filmed everything you did, what do you think they would say about your life? So someone follows you around for a month, and everything you say and everything you do is caught on this video. Now that's scary, isn't it? I don't know if I want somebody to follow me around that long either. But what does it say about our life? Does it say that we are fully engaged in this race, or are we just watchers? You know, I watch them, I video them going to church, I video them open their Bible, I video them doing this and doing that, but when they talk to their spouse, something's not connecting. It seems to, when they're dealing with their kids, when that neighbor's outside, when they're sitting in home or driving their car and I hear them saying some of the things, or I'm watching them do something, it doesn't seem like they're engaged in that race. What would people say about your life if someone followed you around for a month? Now remember, they're going to see imperfect people. If someone has a video camera, guess what? When they would follow Ted around, they would see an imperfect guy. You could easily conclude that after a month of video. But do they see Ted fully engaged in that race? Yeah, we can conclude that he is imperfect, but one thing we can conclude as well is he is engaged. He is in this race. He trains for it, and he tries to run it. He doesn't always do the greatest job, but he's in it, and he's trying to run it. What would somebody say about your life as well? It's time to go all in and not turn back. It's time to get beyond the Jordan and look ahead into that promised land and say, God, there is so much more out there for me that you want. I need to fix my eyes on Jesus, who, by the joy set before him, endured the scorn and the shame of the cross. And because he gave his all, we can be all in with him. Let's pray. God, thank you for this letter to the Hebrews that just gives us some insight into the kind of people who were all in for you. And we know those people weren't perfect, but we can see from their lives that they were fully engaged in this race. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we at times would maybe get weary, and sometimes, Lord, get discouraged and maybe start losing heart. Lord, I pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and see all that Jesus gave. Jesus gave all of himself for us. And may that truth, may that reality help us to keep running this race, Lord. Lord, I pray if somebody in here this morning has been struggling in this race, I pray that they would fix their eyes on you, Lord, and be reminded of all that Jesus gave for us and all that Jesus promises to us. Lord, and it's not that we give up on this race, but in the midst of these difficulties, in the midst of these trials, we just say, we're going to keep going. It's hard, but I'm going to keep running. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it to the end, but I'm going to try. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't have to run this race by ourselves, that there's a room full of people here, and there's a church full of people at Grace that are all running this race together. And when somebody starts struggling or maybe getting on behind, somebody slows down and encourages them and says, hey, I'll run with you for a while. God, I pray that we would just evaluate our lives and that we would decide to go all in with you, Lord. We would stop looking behind us and we would look ahead. Lord God, and if there's anything that people could say about us, they could say, yeah, they're not perfect, but they are engaged and involved and running this race. Lord, I would pray that would be true of each one of us. And if there's somebody in our lives that have given up on this race because they fixed their eyes somewhere else other than Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would be able to just get into their life and gently remind them that you've got to fix your eyes on this guy, on Jesus. Lord, thank you for enduring the cross, scorning its shame, and giving your all for all of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.